Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord, for a wonderful night tonight. We thank you for all these precious little babies that we have in the fellowship, or in the family. I'm not going to call it a fellowship. This is a family, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. We ask, Lord, that you bless Edward tonight as he gives the word, and we thank you for it, Father, and it's going to be a blessing to everybody. And also, Lord, we thank you for this open heaven you've given us, and we just praise you, Father, that everything that we pray is answered by you, Lord. Because we know that the devil ain't got a chance. We have authority over the enemy. We exert that authority, and the devil's on the run. And we praise you, Father, for answering all of our prayers and defeating the enemy for us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Amen. All right, I've got it. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
I mentioned this in the morning prayer meeting a couple of days ago, but I'd like you all to keep these requests in prayer. Merle's niece, she's only she's 14 months younger than Merle. Merle's the baby, and she's 71, and she found out she has lung cancer, and it's stage 4, and she had 4 jabs, and the doctors said that they don't know why she has this, because she, you know, and Merle and I are sure it's because of the jab. And so I think I pray that, you know, I want to say something to her, but Merle doesn't seem to want to say anything to her, even though he's pretty sure why, you know. And so, Lord, I just ask you to however that looks, Lord, make a way for Diane to realize why, probably why. And at least realize that you're the knowledge and the understanding, Lord, that that what these jabs do, how they harm you, Lord. And I just ask you to bring her to the knowledge of the truth concerning that, and that you are our healer and you still heal. I just ask you to grant her repentance, Lord, and healing, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. However you choose to do that, Lord, I'm willing to open up and say something, but I know that if I don't have Merle's backing, it's going to fall on deaf ears. So I just ask you, Lord, to if it's your will to use Merle and me, then you open up the doors for that in Jesus' name. And then Merle also found out that his great nephew started throwing up, and long story short, you know, they found out that he has kidney failure, and he's been on dialysis for 6 weeks, 3 times a day, and he's only 27. And if you all probably remember me mentioning Merle's niece was 48, and she died of an aortic aneurysm, and it's almost 3 years now that happened. And he had moved out not too long. His name is Hunter, had moved out not too long from his mother's before she passed away. So Father, and according to his grandmother, he hasn't had any jabs. So Lord, I don't know why this is happening, Lord, but I ask you to use it to for salvation concerning Hunter, Lord. I don't know where he is with you. I know he went to church when he was younger, when him and his brother, he's a twin brother, were kids. And but Lord, this is an apostate church. It's very apostate, and you know what I'm talking about. And so, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that, you know, first and foremost, above everything, that Diane and Hunter, Lord, know you, and that when they leave this earth, whenever that is, Lord, that it's to go and be with you. I ask in Jesus' name, and I ask you for your mercy and grace, Lord, and upon both of them, and that they would be healed from these illnesses in Jesus' name. And I believe that they have to have a certain amount of understanding and faith, Lord. I don't feel to just pray for healing for them, Lord. I know you want to use this. And I just ask that the end result be that they be healed, however that looks, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
All right. Anyone else?
Thank you, Lord.
About a testimony, praise report. Ooh, 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 ooh. I got one. While I was home in Arkansas, I was able to talk to Blake a little bit. And today he called me. He had gotten into some trouble last weekend. I'm not going to go into it. Y'all know the same old thing. But he called me and he told me, and he said, before I had a call from a guy I know that I went to his rehab for 2 days one time and 2 days another time, but I went back to another place. And he said, you know, I said, well, what do you think about it? He said, well, I think they're all right. He said the guy called him and told him that he would bail him out if he'd come up there and stay 6 months with him in a rehab. And he told Blake, he said, Blake, I have never in my many years of ministry ever bonded anybody out of jail. He said, but the Lord told me to offer this to you, and I'll do that for you if you will come up here for 6 months. And Blake has been, he's met a young lady that is really on fire for the Lord. Believe it or not, she really is. I've talked with her. And anyway, she's a blessing for Blake because she sticks with him and prays for him. And anyway, she told Blake, she said, you don't do anything till you talk to your papa. And so he called me and I said, Blake, I'll ask the Lord if this is the place he wants you. I said, you think about one thing, you think about repenting while I'm praying and asking the Lord. So I did, and the Lord okayed it. He said, yeah, that's where I want it. And so I called him back. And during our conversation, I told him, I said, Blake, the Lord wants you to go there. I said, it'll be okay. I said, that's where he wants you. And I said, but you need to repent and you need to confess your sins. And he said, okay, I'm ready to do that. And I really thought when I had talked to him the first time that the Lord was doing something here, doing something pretty big in his life. And so he started repenting. And I said, well, what about this? And he, yeah, I got to repent to that too. Confess that too. And he confessed, and we pray, and I command those demons off him. And he remember something else. He said, yeah, I lied about this. All we went for 30 minutes, him confessing all of his sins. And I said, is that everything? He said, well, right now, I think that's all I got. I said, well, if something comes to your mind, you confess it to whoever's around and get rid of it. I said, because when you do that, I said, you'll be right with God. And, you know, it makes no difference what happened in the past from that point on. You're just a new creation in Christ. You're sanctified just as much as the most holy man. I said, you walk your way with Jesus. I said, quit walking with the devil. And he said, well, Papa, I'm going to do it this time. I said, well, you say that and you just depend on the Lord to help you. That's the only way you're going to be able to lick this thing. And he said, I am. And, but anyway, I got a real good spiritual feeling that this is a turning point for him. And I want to pray for him. And I want y'all to believe with me, okay? All right, Lord, I lift up Blake to you. I believe you're doing something in his life, Lord, that's going to change him forever. I'm going to believe it. And I thank you, Father, for your cleansing power upon him. I'm thanking you, Lord, that even the addiction, the after effects, whatever it is not even going to affect him. He's going to walk right into the kingdom, and he's going to be as humble servant of yours, Lord, and do the things that you've showed me over the years in dreams and visions of him. And I thank you, Father, for it. And Lord, as far as that girl that's attached to him, I thank you for her, Lord. She's on fire for you. And I ask, Lord, that you give her revelation after revelation of your word, Lord. And I thank you for that too, Lord. And I praise you for when he goes up this rehab, that you bless that man that got him out. And Lord, I thank you for teaching him the truth in the word. As I've told him before, Lord, you believe the Bible and don't listen to man unless they're quoting the Bible. And Lord, I thank you for bringing him along and bringing him out here when it's time. And I praise you for that, Father, for Blake. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for my grandson in Jesus' name. Amen. It's done. Yeah, withdrawal. Thank you, Julie. No withdrawal effects. And I believe it, Lord. And we know, thank you, Lord, that he is on the road. We're going to see him on this conference call before too much longer. And Lord, I thank you for taking all them taps off of him too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Supernaturally. All right. Yeah, Louise. And William. That's William, too. Okay.
How are you, Michael?
I am blessed, brother. How are you doing?
Good. Good, thanks. No complaints.
Awesome.
I'm just going to be in for a short time. I just want to inform everyone that Granny has passed away on Monday. So I put her picture. I don't know if you can see a picture on the.
Yeah, in just a minute. Let me leave it up there. Let me get it on the gallery speaker. There she is. Can y'all see her?
See no, Granny? Yeah, that was on my sister's wedding 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So
she was 85 years old. And it was quite a surprise because we were all on holiday with her.
Oh, really?
And it was a bit traumatic, but she went peacefully. It was a bit of a shock for us all. We didn't expect it. It just happened.
Yeah.
She was fine in the morning, and I kept my eye on her because we brought her down to my sister's my sister's place in Kruger Park. I remember speaking to you on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was the Sunday, and the Monday morning she was better. And I kept my eye on her, and then I told everyone she's better. She's adapted to the journey and the new. And then just from 12 o'clock the afternoon till 8 o'clock, but she went peaceful. There was not, all went well. And yeah, there was a lot of issues getting the body out of this province into back home. So there were some trials, but everything is sorted out. We're taking her back tomorrow morning. And I just wanted to log in. Yeah, we were a bit devastated, but yeah, we're over that right now.
Yeah, but she not was a sweet lady.
Yeah, no, you know, not to the point where I think I had an idol. You know, it was a bit of a shock. Yeah. So devastated would be a wrong word. We know that she knew the Lord, and and everyone is just gave a good praise report about her life. So her funeral is on Tuesday. So yeah, I just want to pray about that, if I may.
Yes, sir. You go right ahead.
Lord, thank you for my grand. She's been an inspiration to us all. And thank you for taking her. You know, Michael, she was still living by herself in an old age home, like an independent old age home, sort of like her own flat. We were taking her back home for the winter and then the rest for 3 months, and then we would send her back home. So she could have passed away alone in her flat. You know, she passed away with the family and with my sister down here, and it wasn't traumatic for the kids or anything. So I just want to thank the Lord. And you know, I got a word on Sunday. I asked the Lord, I saw her and I was concerned about the journey, if it might have been too much. And I opened up her daily devotional, and I got the word passing by random, and I was like shocked, and I was still praying, Lord, extend her life, please. I don't want her to die on holiday. And the Lord didn't, it was a time to go, ah, guys, you should have seen her hands. They were so thin, even on the picture there. It was now 6 years later, there was nothing left of her. She was finished. Her body was finished. So I just want to thank the Lord in the way he did take her, that it was with us. The way she went was so beautiful. She even went to the bathroom right before she died. There wasn't even one bit of mess on the bed. There was nothing to clean. She went like a lady. It was amazing. Amen. So I just want to praise the Lord for the whole experience. Yeah. And I could actually pick her up myself. The guys that came to collect her, they weren't strong enough, so I could take my granny and I put her in the coffin myself.
Okay. Yeah,
which was so nice. So I just want to praise the Lord and thank you. And yeah, I just wanted to touch and speak of this testimony.
Amen. Well, one thing about it, well, we're gonna see granny again. We all gonna have a party together. Thank you, Lord, for granting. We just praise you, Father, for her life here, that the people that she affected while she was here. And Lord, we just pray for the family, that the grief would be short-lived, because they know it's actually a party, not a party, but a good time renewing their life with granny. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for the family. Yeah, celebration. I'm sorry. Celebration. I was grieving with you there for a minute, will you? Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father, for her life here. And thank you for William, too. And Louise, also.
Ach, no, she took to David's stuff the minute she got it. When we started 10 years ago on David's content, she didn't, she had a bit about the dreams, was a bit new, but she took to it and she listened to his stuff 24/7, which was nice. So my mom, she didn't, she was out of the mainstream church system for like 20 years before she got David's content. And the funny thing is, when she passed away, we realized we've got it in the wrong province and it's going to cost us a lot of money to get her back. So I was ready to like speed back to our own province with my granny in the car. But luckily my brother-in-law stopped me. He said, if they arrest me on the way, we'll be in big trouble with her. So he was wise. So he stopped us and he phoned the medical personnel or like the ambulance, and it turned out much better. So now I've got a legal document to transport. I'm still going to transport it myself tomorrow, but luckily it's legal now. But if they do it for you, like the funeral home, it's an insane amount of money to get her back.
Yep. Well, Lord, we just thank you for William.
So thank you. No, it's what the all right, I'm going to have to go to bed, and I just bless everyone and good night.
All right, good night, William. We're still praying for you, brother. We love you. God bless you.
Good night, Will. Thank you for sharing.
Yes. Okay. Who's next? Awesome testimony of a loving lady. Anybody else got a prayer request, a testimony, or a praise report, or a song? Edwin's
I have a prayer request.
Okay, good. Go ahead, Debbie.
Sorry. Well, Victory is moving next couple of days. She's packing everything up from her apartment and going to move. But just continued prayer for that. She's doing really well. She's always been so joyful, so different since she's been here, and she's baptized here. So I think that's had a lot to do with it. And I just think she's learned a lot. And she's always so joyful and free. And she met a woman with three children, her neighbor. So that's good. She'll have someone to talk to. Her oldest child is 27. So I don't know how the two younger ones are. But anyway, I want to pray for her. She gets settled in there and waiting for furniture to be delivered. And so Lord, I just thank you for what you've been doing in Victory's life, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that she will just give you all the praise and glory and know that your grace upon her that is enabling her to keep going, Lord, and doing all this moving by herself, Lord, and these three children, Lord. And just the strength you've given her, God, amazes me, Lord. And I just pray that she would be amazed too, Father, what you've done in her and for her, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for continued safe move and getting everything over there that she needs, and for the prompt delivery of her furniture, Lord. And I just thank you, God. I pray, Lord, that you would bring into her life a believer. I don't know if this woman she met is one or not, but I just pray that you'd bring someone into her life, God, that she could be one with in you, Lord, and be able to talk to you with be talked to about you, Lord, with them, and pray together and just bless her, Lord, in this move and their new home. And thank you for your angels being around them and keeping them safe in all they do. Just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Is she moving down here?
No.
Okay.
She's got that I was talking about what's it called? She was on a list for some kind of housing, county housing. Okay. So they called her about a week before she came here to visit. I didn't know she'd been on this list. And she'd been on that list for about 6 months. And they called her and said, we've got one for you if you want it. And she didn't quite know for sure. She said, well, let me call you back. I'm going to, here. Told me she was coming here and she'd be back. And so she decided that, yep, she needs to do that. So, and of course, that's the Lord. I was praying to Lord, just she can't come here unless it's, you are ready, she's ready, and you're ready to have her here. And so I know it's the Lord.
Amen.
That's what she's doing. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And it's a lot cheaper rent cut in half. So
really?
That helped her out a whole lot. Yeah.
How many children has Victory got?
He's got three.
Three of them? Okay. I was thinking that, but I couldn't remember if it was two or three.
Yeah. Awesome. We probably only saw two. Probably only saw two because Hatcher runs all over the place. He's never with her. So he's chasing him down.
Okay. Anyway. Awesome. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother. Or Marianne.
Okey-dokey. No, you're right. You got it. Hey, everybody. Great testimonies today. Great prayers. I just want to give a quick testimony. Me and Marion have been doing a lot of work here in this house. And, you know, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, help me out with this. Because I have to rip out these countertops and this sink. It's all old. And so we did it. And, you know, I just believe for a smooth process because, you know, anytime you guys get it, anytime you do work, and I'm not trying to speak negative, but being in maintenance field and doing a lot of any type of work, you always find issues along with something. It's like, oh, well, here's this. And I said, well, Lord, I just want to get through this one, man. I just want to get through, Father, and, you know, and let it be smooth. So we ripped up these countertops and I put in butcher block, but Marianna helped me. And we put in the butcher block and it went pretty good. And then we got to the sink part, you know, put in that sink, right? And we have to cut it out. Now it's about an inch and a half thick. So it's pretty thick stuff. And so, man, it went pretty good. Even the measurements of where we had to get it versus where our cabinets were, because it had to be positioned so right. Because you only had like 5/16ths on both sides before it was, you know, sticking outside the cabinets. Anyways, it went really good. And then I was having problems with the sink because I couldn't get the sink to lay flush because it's stainless. And so I just said, Lord, help me figure it out because these clamps ain't working. And the Lord gave me an idea. I just needed longer studs, these, you know, for lack of a better term. But I took those old clips, scored them, cut them in half. And, you know, I'm telling you, the Lord just gave me the idea. And it worked, and it sealed, and it was flush and looked really good. And I was like, man, thanks, Lord. Thanks for these ideas. You're always giving these ideas. You know, let me put it this way. That's maybe not the way they're designed to be used, but it worked. And it looks good, so praise the Lord. But anyways, everything went real well. And the main testimony I was wanting to really say was this. After putting all that in, I had to do, you know, now I got to do the plumbing. Well, I want to keep the plumbing because I don't want to redo it. But it's old style ABS plumbing. And I was short, you know, I'm like, man, I'm short and I don't want to have to go buy some more plumbing to make it match the sink. I could get some flex tubing or whatever, or flex pipe, but I was like, I don't want to do that. And because I've been back and forth to Lowe's, and I go to Lowe's and then I forget, I go to get what I need. And I get back to home. I'm like, man, I forgot this. Anyways, so I sat there and I just undid it, and that pipe kept on growing, and it grew so much that it got me to where I needed to be, because there was pipe inside a pipe, right? And but I needed a few inches on both sides, because it's two basins in a sink. Is that right? And it grew on both sides and kept on growing and gave me all the inches I need. And I was like, man, praise the Lord. And I went together. And I said, thank you, Father, because I was claiming this whole time and we were believing for an easy job. And it's just like that. And I'm really thankful.
Amen. Yeah, I know what you're talking about going and forgetting something and having to go back. That's why I started writing that stuff down but it was years later. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Isaac. That's a good testimony. Yeah, Patrick.
I want to praise the Lord for healing my back. And I want to thank him for healing my back and healing, restoring the sensations, the numbness and all that. And I thank you, Lord, for your strength and your faith and your grace. Thank you for your truth, Lord, and your word that by your stripes we were healed. And I thank you. I claim that for my brothers and sisters as well, as we all look to you and thank you for the healing that you provided for us, Lord. I thank you for especially for this healing of my back and the realignment of my vertebrae and spine to be absolutely perfect. We thank you for your preservation and your restoration in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Praise Lord, the Lord.
Glory to God. We just praise you, Father, for healing paths back. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Geneva.
There we go. Okay. God testimony, it doesn't make me look so great, but it makes the Lord look amazing because he is. So I look at Micah sometimes and she's just so cute that I'd like get so excited and I pick her up and I swing her around and things. And anyways, today I almost like I picked her up from a little bouncy thing and I swung her up in the air and I almost bonked her head on the lamp. And I was almost like not even half a centimeter from it. I know, but I'm just saying, like, I immediately was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for always having your angels around her and keeping her safe, because I need to pay more attention. And thank you, Jesus, that I'm vigilant. But anyways, yeah, and he just always has his angels around her and around me and Morgan. I always pray for his protection. And, you know, just I'm learning that as parents sometimes, you know, you do goofy things and then you're like, oh my gosh, why did I do that? But the Lord is always there to correct our wrongs and to you know, take care of any mistakes. But I just wanted to thank the Lord for that, because immediately I was like, thank you, Jesus. That could have went really bad and she would have cried really hard. And just thank you, Lord, for helping me be aware, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for your protection upon our kids, our children, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Don't you hurt that baby, Geneva.
Amen. I won't. Thank you, Jesus.
I know you won't. Go ahead, Greg.
Hang on. I just put my hand down. Oh, you've done it. Thank you. Geneva, just to help you feel a little better. Children are delightful. And I remember when my eldest was very young, maybe not quite as young as Micah, but I did similarly. You know, threw her up in the air, and her head did hit a light fitting that was attached to a ceiling fan that wasn't on, by the way. And the light fitting broke. My daughter felt nothing. She didn't, you know, there was no crying, no nothing. She was just enjoying dad playing with her parts. I stopped.
Thank you.
That really made her feel good, I'm sure. Thank you.
It did.
I don't know how many times I've almost done that with a ceiling fan. Okay. Anyone else got a good testimony with a baby and a ceiling fan? I know we've all you men have probably gotten close. Amen.
Yeah, I've got lots of testimonies, but Claire hasn't heard them yet. So I'll just leave them.
And lost a hand yet, huh? Praise God. Oh, my. All right. Oh, gosh. All right, David. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for your spiritual enrichment tonight, we have a young preacher man from down under that's going to enlighten us with the word and give us revelations from God's word. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to anoint him, and he's going to be a blessing to us. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you've given him to share with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Edwin. Take it, brother.
Hi, guys. Thanks for this opportunity. I would just like to start off with a prayer, more to help myself than anything else. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for speaking through me. Lord, I know that you are sovereign, and I give my body and my everything to you to use as you see fit, Lord. Lord, please open our eyes and open our eyes to see, and open our ears to hear, and please bless this conversation and speak through me, Lord. Amen. Michael, would I be able to share my screen with you guys? There we go. Let me see. Okay. So today I would like to speak to you about our relationships with each other and what the Lord has shown me on how we should treat each other, how we should have love for each other, how we should have grace for each other, what we should do, what does it mean to love each other, what does it, why should we be careful when we judge each other, and just how should we encourage each other to in our journeys with God and in our walks with God, and how can we, by doing that, build our relationship with God and with each other. So first thing, grace. Grace is a gift of God. We have all been saved by grace from God. We have all been saved by God because he loved us. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so therefore, none of us can boast about it. None of us deserve to be saved. None of us deserve the grace of God. It's been given to us freely from God, and then so therefore we need to give that freely to each other. Just a few verses that I've got on grace or on this. The first is Ephesians. I'm just going to read that to you. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yours, from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. And then another one, Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. And Romans 3, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So how do we serve each other with grace? Since we have all received grace from God freely, we all and all have different gifts that we got from God by faith. We should use those gifts to build up each other, to encourage each other. We should use it to help each other when we struggle and when we go through trials. We should not use it to judge each other, or to speak or to slander each other. Just a few, 1 Peter 4 verse 10, As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God. And Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each other. And Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And then that leads into the next one, is how do we build each other up with this grace that we received from God? None of us, like I said before, none of us can boast about the grace that we got or the fact that we've been saved by God, because none of us deserve to be saved by God. And it's just because of God's love for us that we have received that. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we all deserve to be judged by God. Therefore, we are all. So rather than judging each other, we should build each other up and encourage each other when we fall. So let's read Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And then again in James, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Well, just some other verses on judging each other that I'm going to read. Romans 2, verse 1 to 3. You therefore have no excuse. You pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself. Because who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgments against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? And Matthew 7, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judged others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So this obviously leads to forgiveness, because what do we do then when people sin against us, or our brother sins against us? How do we treat them if we're not to judge them? So I think a verse in Matthew 18 will give us that answer. So then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And Matthew 6, verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is quite a wonderful promise that God gave us. All of us will in some time in our lives, and all of us have in some time in our lives, sinned against God and against other people as well. But God promises us here that if we forgive the people that sinned against us, He will also forgive us our sins. So how do we treat each other then, if we're not... Love. So love. the greatest commandment. There was a one point when Jesus taught, and a lawyer came to him and he asked, so, and it was actually a question to trick him, to get him to give a wrong answer. And he asked him, so Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of them all? And I think the answer that Jesus gave him, just the perfect summation of all the laws or the Ten Commandments. And so he answered, Mark 12, verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And this is a perfect summary of the entire law. I mean, if you really love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength and soul, and if you really love your neighbor, you will not sin against God and you will not sin against your neighbor. You will keep God's commandments if you truly love him. So this is a perfect summary of all the laws that God gave us. God is love. In 1 John 4 verse 8, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. In 1 John 4 verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So if we want to see the character of God, we have to love each other, and then God will live in us and we will see his character in each other. And 1 John 4 verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love of God, on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Another reason why we should love each other is because love covers sins. You know, it was because God loved us that he saved us and forgave us our sins. And if we love each other, it will be much easier for us to forgive each other the sins that we sin against each other. 1 John 4 verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then to love each other in Romans 13, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This points to the commandments that Jesus gave to that lawyer as well. And then 1 Peter 4 verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love each other. So if we want our brothers and sisters to grow and walk closer to God, we have to love each other. We have to encourage each other and not judge each other. We have to forgive each other when we sin against each other. And 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12 sums this up. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And Romans 12 verse 10, be devoted to one another in love, honor and one another above yourselves. 13 verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So I think Corinthians 13, I think no one could have summed up the importance of love and how important love is to God better than 1 Corinthians 13. So therefore, I'm just going to read the whole thing. And then if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. When how many of us pray and hope that and have faith that we would have all of those things if we to have prophetic powers, to have the knowledge of mysteries, and to have so much faith that we can literally move mountains. But as it is said there, if you can do all of those things and you don't have love, you have nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I think that's a great summation of the importance of love and how we should treat each other. I would just like to say a prayer, and then we can discuss all of this. And yeah, I've written down a prayer that I wanted to read, if that's okay. God, please soften our hearts so that we could be led by your Holy Spirit. Pour out your love into our hearts so that it will overflow abundantly. Give us patience and grace with each other. Let us not judge their iniquities, but let us encourage each other with love and kindness. Let us forgive each other our sins, like you have forgiven us. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us to be your sons. In the name of Jesus, amen. That's all, folks.
Y'all caught me, didn't you? All right, that was good. I had to run out and talk to David just a second. Okay, that was an awesome message, and I really enjoyed the PowerPoint on that with the all the verses in there. Did anybody else like that? I think he set a standard, but I don't know how to do that, so it ain't a standard for me. When I get ready to do it, I'm going to have to call Ed. That was good, Edward. That was really an awesome teaching, and I thank you for it. Has anybody got any questions or any comments, Patrick?
Are you nailing me there,
Michael? Well, I was hoping you had a comment or a question.
Actually, when Edwin, by the way, do I sound all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's going on here? Siri just popped up. I agree, Edwin, that was very good. Matter of fact, I screenshotted every one of your PowerPoints there. That was very good. You gave that verse, I think it was 1 John 4:16, if I remember in that, but this verse popped into my mind. It was verse 19. But I'm going to read 17 on because it it popped right into my mind after you stopped. 17, herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And this verse 19 is the one that the Lord just gave me. We love because he first loved us. And I don't have anything other than that to say, but it's just those verses came to my mind as you were ending that. And that was just, it was a wonderful reminder of our life that he has given us through the seed of love, and that he first made that step towards us in order to make it all happen, and knew when he came that he would be going to the cross. And as he said in the gospel, I don't remember where, but he said, no man has greater love than this, that one should give up his life for his friends. And so I don't want to say anything other than that, but I thank you, Edwin. That was very good. I appreciate it very much.
Yep, that was nice. Go ahead, Rion. I'll show you hand it.
Yeah, thanks, Edwin. That was awesome. You've got a nice voice. I like listening to your voice. That's actually quite nice. And your accent is amazing.
Yeah, I could understand it.
Yeah. It's like the love and judging, it goes so hand in hand. It's almost like I feel like we kind of go through these cycles where we experience the love of God first, and then we experience the love of God for ourselves, but then it becomes so difficult to then love others sometimes. Well, if you experience the love of God, it becomes easy to love others, but then when you start condemning yourself and coming under judging yourself, then it becomes, you find yourself then judging others easier as well. And if you read that 1 Corinthians 13, and it doesn't envy, it doesn't vaunt, it's not puffed up, it's not unseemly, it's not provoked, it doesn't take account of evil, and you kind of get exasperated by the time you get to the end of that list and go, who can do this? Who can love like this? And who can truly lay down their lives? It really becomes very it becomes sometimes almost difficult to think that, you know, you can't do that, but we can do it. We can, because it's Christ in us. And all it just comes back to Christ in us. Like it's only through him. And that's why I love when you started with grace. And you started your presentation with grace. And it's just a reminder again, it's not anything that we can do out of our own. It's all a gift from God. So we can even ask God for this kind of love as well, so that we don't judge. And it's sometimes so easy to do. I was listening to the fellowship at work on Wednesday, and we talked about the apostate church and we often do that. And I was reminded, you know, about the pastors and how can they teach these things. And I'm often reminded of that, to go, well, we were all there. That's the thing with love. Is you can have love for others because you know that you were there. We were all there in different ways, different levels or different means or things. Doesn't matter. At some point, we were all reprobate and we were all an abomination to the Lord. But only because he chose us can we have that love too. And yeah, so it's a good reminder. It's a heavy weight. I think that's like what that lawyer then, what you spoke about, what he must have felt, to go, yeah, well, that does sum up everything. There's no, we can't nitpick any other single little law, because that is all the law. Almost like a heavy burden to carry, but then God so loved us that he sent Jesus so that we are able to also lay down our lives just like he has. It was a good example for us. Yeah, so thank you for that. Really blessed us.
Amen. Sure did. Go ahead, Andrew.
So here's a question then. So we heard this wonderful sayings of grace and forgiveness and love. It's a question posed from what Breon also said, you know, we have all these people. What would God do to change these people so that they can have this love, agape style, obedience? What lengths would he go to? What when we pray for these people who are family members? You know, why is it that we hesitate sometimes and think, what's taken God so long to make his love come to pass? So I guess it's a double question. Why is it taking so long? And what would God do? Especially like with our prayers for this, these things to come to pass, because even with our salvation, you know, that first day when we first believed, you know, we all immediately, you know, we're led astray by something that maybe what we were taught in the church that wasn't really right. So, because we know a lot more now being in this ministry. So I'm almost answering the question. So I'm just going to put that question out. What would God do? And why does it seem so long for our prayer for loved ones to be answered? I'm just posing that out there, just if anyone has a comment or an idea, even if it's not an answer. Because sometimes we'll get somewhere with this kind of approach, because we have someone who helps us.
Amen. Sometimes I think, and that's just my observation, in my opinion, that he has to put us in a place first sometimes in order to bring these our children in anyway. Okay, Patrick.
It's interesting, off of the verse that Edwin brought up about, I think it was take the mote out of your eye first, and you can see clearly to take the mote or the twig out of the others. It was pointed out to me once that mote or that speck and that log are really the same size. It's really the same thing. The only difference is the log that I see in someone else's eye is really a speck in my eye. It's the same size. It's only the perspective. And that set me on a whole path as far as seeing that God many times is going to work on my life and affect change in my life through bringing others into my life and into my life that have the same problem that I may have or I may be struggling with or I may be totally ignorant of. And he might want to raise up somebody and bring them into my life, and I end up having to deal with something. And after doing that and having some time to think about it or mull it over, I realize that that person, that let's just say that particular offensive behavior or a comment or whatever that person has is really in me. And so of course has many times has forced me to stop, go back to the drawing board, try to identify why that is happening within me. So I wanted to just bring up something that the Lord kind of showed me over a process of time. And it was really having taken me out of the electronics world, shifted me early over into construction, a path that I would have never chose myself. And I ended up going into a superintendent role where you're dealing with other people and all the time. And when I was a technician or a carpenter or something, things were a little bit easier. Tasks were a little bit easier to deal with, because if I needed to accomplish a certain task, cut a board or measure something or do whatever, it all had to do with the tools I had. You know, if I didn't have, unfortunately, much to my wife's chagrin, if I didn't have the right tool to do it, I went out and bought it, or I went out and found it somewhere. And it all has to do with the tool belt, you know, the tools in your tool belt, and using the right tool for the right job, etc. You know, makes things 100% easier. But when I become a superintendent, and I think, quite frankly, we find this as fathers and mothers as well. It's pretty easy in marriage, just when it's just two of you to deal with things. But when the children come along, now you have the difficulties and struggles that you have no control about. You go back to the drawing board and you're learning everything, you know. And unfortunately, raising kids it's like experience. You get experience, unfortunately, after you need it. So you can always look back and see how you did certain things and whatever, and be able to have great suggestions. But it would have been nice to have that before in the process of doing it. Well, anyway, becoming a superintendent, now in order to accomplish tasks, I had to, my tool belt was no longer on my hip. And I couldn't just go out and buy a new tool to accomplish my job. My tools were now people. And they were now real. And now I had to learn different, how to use those tools a little bit different. And I think one of the biggest lessons that the Lord gave me is that when the people coming to you, when you have a hammer, but you really need a screwdriver for the job, but you can see that this person is not a screwdriver, he's not fit for that task, but that's the only thing you have, and he's a hammer. Now, some people in management have learned, well, just get rid of this guy and find a guy that's a hammer, you know, get the hammer. But the Lord didn't give me that option. He has taught me to accept the hammer as it is, accept it, and learn to do the job with the hammer that I've given. In other words, I don't get to choose my tool belt, the tools in my tool belt. I have to accept what I am given to accomplish the job. And so I'm kind of going around the bend here on a lot of things, like I usually do, but I'm ending up with judgment and acceptance and accepting people the way they are, not justifying them or whatever, but just the concept that it's not my responsibility to change somebody. It's only my responsibility to to accept the change in my own life in order to accommodate that that situation. So I don't know if it's acceptance, if it's love, if it or exactly what it is, but it's that. Putting away of judgment and accepting the tools that I have to do the job. And so I don't know, maybe that fits into this whole thing. I hope it does. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Gina.
Thanks. Edwin, thank you for sharing. That was really good. Other than the content, it just brought back a lot of memories about being in the office. So it was really well done. I appreciate it. The love part, you know, it's God's greatest attribute, I believe, is love. And I think that's, you know, obviously what he wants to create in all of us for him and for each other. And what Andrew asked about why it doesn't, I'm not sure if I remember exactly what you said, Andrew, how you phrased the question of why doesn't God answer our prayers right away or something like that for family or things.
Yeah, why does he not answer our prayers right away? And what extent would God go to get this love dished out?
Okay. So what was coming to me when you were asking that is, you know, as in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says love is patient, it's long-suffering, it's kind, you know, it endureth all things, and then that kind of stuff, being patient. And that's something that God is creating in us as we go through trials. I mean, he is love, and he's been long suffering, patient with us, you know, as little children growing up and that kind of thing. And even when we were not even of God then, we are still just, you know, dirty as the world and in the world and acting like the world, that kind of thing. How God is patient with me, and is something that, you know, you learn. And same thing with agape love, is you learn obedience, right? I think that's just all part of our growing up, and we have to learn to be patient, and patient with ourselves, and patience with others, patient with the body of Christ, because we're all different. We all come from different backgrounds and personalities, and, you know, just the way our upbringing's been and the things that we've gone through in life that make us who we are, we're all different. And the other thing that was coming to my mind was how God was patient. He's patient with the wicked. He's patient with the evil doers, and he uses it all to you know, create in us who he wants us to be, because he, you know, we have to learn to be patient with the wicked too, you know. You know, that's what was coming to me about the why doesn't God answer right away, is because we have to learn to be patient like he is. And to love our enemies, and to love those who persecute us, and to discern that it's they can't help what they are, they can't help what they're doing, and learning to pray and learning to have faith, learning all these things. It's just growing up and learning and maturing is kind of how I see it, Andrew. That's all I got.
Amen. That's more or less what I was thinking as well. Go ahead, Claire. Thank you, Julie. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I agree with Julie. The more I continue to have faith for family members or loved ones or whoever it is that the Lord gives me faith for, I don't think anything's off the table with God. I think he'll do, if we believe that those people are coming in, we believe in household salvation, then there's nothing that he will not do. Nothing. If that means someone has to have a messy first marriage, if it means somebody has to, I watched this testimony a while back of a guy who was the perfect son. He was such a sweet man. He was involved in his parents' church. He was one of those nice preacher's kids. And then he drove drunk. He'd never even been drunk before. And he drove drunk and he had to go to prison. And it was in prison that his heart was changed. And is that all for the glory of God? Does that make his salvation better than mine? I was saved from the same darkness, but my circumstances were maybe a little different. But he is so grateful for that moment in his life. So if the Lord is willing to do that in somebody's life, then I don't think there's much else that can be off the table. We shouldn't get involved in that. I think that's what I'm learning, is we cannot get involved in that messiness. Like we cannot try and save people from their messiness. If they're going to be messy, they're going to be messy. And our job is to continue to have faith. That's where I'm at with, I've got my family members where it's going from bad to worse. Like I didn't think it could get worse, and now it's getting worse. And I'm like, wow, Lord, go for it. Just do it. Like do it quick. Do what you need to do. Dung that tree, dig it and dung it, because the fruit's going to come. I can't spare anyone from suffering. So I'd rather than go through it and be sanctified.
That's a good point, Claire, Julie. We have to go through the process of quit trying to help them in the flesh. And that's what God is doing to us. He's teaching us, hey, look, you go ahead and shoot your best shot, buddy. But I'm the one that's going to ultimately save them. So you just, when you get through with your mess, then I'll step in. And that's, a lot of times that's where he takes us. And it's liable to take 20 years because we keep wanting to try to help the people that we love. But when you step back and put them on God's altar, then the love of God goes through and works. All right, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
All right. Yeah, no, tacking on with you guys, because that sounds pretty good. And I think Edwin touched on this in Romans 2, and I'm just touching back on this to Andrew's question. And I'll start at verse 2. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judgeth them that practice such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? And this is the good part. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's something the Lord showed me when I first got out of the whole out of apostasy, I'll leave it at that. I went through, and this was like in 2000, maybe 7 or 8. And then I think I got Sovereign God in like 2008 or 9. I can't remember. And I read it, and this is like knowledge. Like this was like amazing. I don't know. It was so real. anyways, and I was so thankful and I took it with love. And then I went through this critical stage, and I'll never forget that critical stage of where I came from. Well, how could they be this way? Well, why are they doing this? Don't they know? Read it right here. It's in the book, because it was made aware to me. The Lord had to show me, Isaac, you know, I didn't do that to you. I just brought you out of it. And so I always try to remember that. And too, because especially this, and I shudder at the thought. I really do. And I mean it. I even feel it in my heart that I could be back right there. And I'm not going to, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father. But if I was to do that, I could be right back again and not even know how I got there. And that's something the Lord showed me a lot about long suffering. Is in to Andrew's point with family and stuff. Sometimes I've noticed things, you know, we'll be interacting or just hanging out, whatever points in life, and I notice things, and I'm like, well, you know, it's, and I don't mean to sound judgmental here, so bear with me. I'm like, well, I don't know if I just say that or do that, but I don't feel the need to be like, hey, now you don't do that. Do you know this? Hey, stop it now, because sometimes it's real trivial matters. And I just know that the Lord's working on them at his pace and his rate, because he did it for me. And I know to pray about it and pray for them. And also, I mean, at the same time, pray for myself, you know, that I not be that person that has a plank in his eye. And, you know, it's never failed. Somehow, some way, whether it be a loved one or a friend, they'll say, you know, I just figured this out. This just came to my attention. And it's something that you may have picked up on, but I know God's long suffering with them. And he was extremely long suffering with me. And I hope to in turn receive that long suffering, because I may do things that I don't know of, that I'm not aware of, because I'm just me. And I think, hey, well, what could be wrong with me? But you know, people outside looking at me may not notice that. They may see things that they don't agree with. And so I just hope for that same. You know, whatever man soweth, that shall he also receive. Not to say there ain't points to where you have to be bold. It's just in these small tokens I haven't felt led to. And, you know, I'm maybe not at that level yet, or need to be saying that. But anyways, to move on past that, you know, so I've noticed that with God is long-suffering, and it's for our good too. It's for our, you know, produce fruit in ourselves, and even for us to gain faith, because our prayers get answered. And then to the other questions, how far will God go? Man, I know I would be talking all night. I could talk all night about how far he went for me. So I'll spare you. So, you know, look what he did for Paul, you know, where Paul in the Bible was, and what in, you know, who he was from Saul to Paul. But that wasn't just for him. It was for us also. And used him and wrote, you know, the Lord spoke through him and wrote the New Testament. So he, you know, God's always went a really far way. And something I like a whole bunch is this verse. He who began a good work in you will perfect it to the day of Jesus Christ. So how far is God willing to go? Well, to perfection, both in us and them, right? And that's something. You know, when Rion was talking and Edwin gave just a really masterful presentation, you know, Rion said something about even when you judge yourself, it's kind of the same thing. And, you know, it would be easier to judge somebody else too, because you're judging your own self. I never even thought about that, because I can be pretty hard on myself at times. And, you know, that's something that you know, the Lord is just showed me. Anyways, I think I'm losing my train of thought, so I'm gonna stop right now. So anyways, thanks guys.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, like you had the seven churches. They were in seven different geographical regions, but each one had their own problem. And if they had one person from one city showing up to another person from another city, they'd be maybe to easier to help each other to overcome the things. If the qualities from one of these churches could help the deficiency of the other one, and the qualities of that other one might be able to help the other one. But, you know, in Isaiah, it says, and in his name, the Gentiles shall trust. But, you know, Isaiah said that about the Gentiles. And now God has to do the 3:16 of John with that love. So I just, I was looking at it from that point of view, that God has to now go to the Gentiles with his Savior too. And of course, also to his Israelites. So he's got to fulfill that love, because God is long-suffering, and he's sometimes long-suffering because we think we can do it, and we try to save our family members, and his long-suffering is going to outlast our long-suffering, because this love and all the other fruits of the Spirit are coming from God, and he's got it to its fullness, and we need him to share it with us. So that's what I'm saying about that anyway. So praise God. Good answers. And I was just thinking aloud about the what and the why. But it's really got to do a lot with this topic, you know. It's a big topic. And it's supposed to make us diligent and, you know, capable of reconciliation. You know, sometimes you wonder which comes first, you know, the chicken or the egg, or which comes first, the reconciliation or your circumcision of your heart, or your cross, or your yoke. So but it's not for you to decide that, because these are all the things that God gave us, and he'll make it happen with any one of those variables that you have to have that I just mentioned there. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
And the crowd goes, oh no. Edwin, I have to confess that Rhiannon and Claire and I have been talking about you behind your back just now. but this is for everybody, just to you know, helicopter view, I suppose, is that, and this is not about the content that you spoke about, you know, I'm happy for you to run a masterclass in PowerPoint presentations for us. But I wrote to them, and a brief text message. What I'm finding amazing is that the man expanding scriptures was not so long ago the subject of prayer, particularly by his wife, and I've said go women, by the way, leading to his baptism, and you know, your growth from then to here. Claire and Rhiannon did acknowledge that yes, it's a work of God. But and I posted a scripture, and Isaac, thank you for raising this one a bit. And it goes like this, slightly adapted, that being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in Edwin will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And there you go. I'll leave it at that. But yeah, I'm just like, what God's doing in you and all of us is wonderful, amazing and wonderful. I'm out.
Yes, it is. It's wonderful. Thank you, Father. Okay. Well, I sent out his PowerPoint notes to you. I hope everybody got them. Okay, good deal. Anybody got anything else for Edwin or them, whatever, us? Okay, thank you, Dave. What about you, Dave? Got any questions or comments?
I always like to look the scriptures over a little bit, because when somebody says something, I never really get it the first time. I'm always listening to David and you guys a couple times through, it just never hits me right away. But he's got a lot of good stuff here, Edwin. You did cover a lot of things. I would say one thing is this is all how the Lord works in our lives, and you've covered a lot of good things here. Try not to feel condemnation or guilt if you're not meeting these expectations, because we're all coming into the image of Christ. We're all overcoming our flesh, and sometimes, you know, we fail. Well, you know, you're going to fail. You're going to, and the Lord's going to be right there to let you know you failed. Because I know how the Lord works. He's a very good corrector. And sometimes he may not do it right away, but he'll do it. He'll give you a little time maybe to sit back and look things over. And then he'll come back and tell you, okay, this wasn't really appropriate, or this wasn't where you needed to be. And but he does that in a way to allow us to grow, because nobody's walked into this kingdom yet perfect. Everybody's walked imperfect and worked out their salvation in fear and trembling. So you've got great information here as far as the walk and how love covers everything and the multitude of sins. And then we've got, you know, love, the greatest commandment. And then we got the unforgiveness. You know if you got unforgiveness, because if you think about somebody and your anger rises up, you know, you can just feel the old temperature go, or just you know, there's just something about it that you just never really like about a person. That's unforgiveness, you know. But I think, you know, for me personally, the one of the things I had to watch out for and still watch out for, because it can grab you really quick, is a spirit of rejection, which can manipulate all these other feelings to get you going against what God wants you to be. Because even if, say, for instance, we do all these things and we're trying to be, you know, that perfect servant for somebody, and they were not received for that, or worse yet, they criticize you still, or they treat you badly, and you think, well, I was really being nice to this person, or I don't know why they treated me this way. You know, that's the other big challenge in our walk here, is are you going to allow things to get under your skin, or are you going to be able to just let it go off the shoulders? You know, now I can't say just because you can let things go off your shoulders means the other person's going to be corrected automatically, and they're going to see their faults, and they're going to say, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong? No, not that's not necessarily how it works. We talked about that, how people's lives, how God works in people's lives, and everybody has to go through this process, especially if you're called in the kingdom. God works on you individually every day, whatever he's going to do in your life. So we can't think, well, I finally got this worked out in my life, what's up with this person, why can't they get it right? Well, God's doing that. That's his job to take care of that. You know, he's working with that person. He's the one that's going to work things out in their life if they're called into the kingdom. And I'm not talking about our relatives, because we know we have household salvation. We just have to have patience for that. You know, that's a given right we have. But for everybody else outside the kingdom, outside of our immediate, authority, well, we got to let God do his thing in their life, just like he's doing in ours. And so there, he's working out our salvation, helping us grow into this image of Christ. And it's good that we come here in this fellowship, and everybody does fellowship, because it's important, because it makes you become aware of where you're going and what you should be doing, and things you've got to work on, and things you got to pray about. Lord, I have my mouth. Look at my tongue. Look what it said. I'm sorry. you know, I fell, or my mind wasn't thinking right, or I took offense and I didn't see it coming and I didn't cast it down, but it's still there and all, forgive me. You know, these little things, that's why we come together, to help us all continually stay on that path. And it's a path of correction a lot. You know, it's a path of altering and getting back on the right path. You know, and this is a good teaching for that. It helps us, again, to sit back, look us each other, look, yeah, look yourself over and think, okay, this is where I need to be. Ah, I missed it here on this. I'm still working on that. Well, thank you, Lord, for helping me overcome here. I'm doing good. But if you trip and fall a little bit, don't you get back on your feet, cast it down, and move forward. I guess that's all I had to say. I kind of rambled a little bit, but yeah, it was a very good teaching, Edwin. I'm glad you sent that out because I get to look it over more. If I would have had it earlier, I'd have a lot more critical things to say, but I don't have it now. So, no, I'm kidding.
Okay. Okay, Michelle, go ahead. I'll get right to you, Missy.
Yeah, hi. I haven't been in the group for a while because I've been laptop at work. So I'm happy to be here with you guys tonight. But so I missed the first part. I don't know if you can maybe shoot it over to me, email it to me, Michael, the PowerPoint, because I didn't get it. I'm not getting the PowerPoints, by the way.
Oh, you didn't get it?
No, I haven't been. I haven't been getting any of the notes.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just, yeah, I think I'm basically kind of echoing what, yeah, love is, it's the pinnacle. It's what we're all doing here. We're being transformed into the image of God, who is love. And, yeah, we fall woefully, woefully short. And yet we hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, we all deeply desire to walk in the love of God. We want to be like Jesus. You know, I believe every believer, I'm going to take off my big funky glasses, but all of us, you know, have that hunger to love and to, you know, like Jesus said. I mean, I think about it a lot, in fact, lately, because, you know, he's really going after his image in our lives. And it's like, you know, lay down your lives for one another, love one another as I have loved you. And it's like, gosh, am I doing that? I don't think nearly as much as God would, as I could, or as the Lord wants. And so, and of course, you know, unkind thoughts, you know, judgments that shoot through your heart and mind. And, you know, I think like a lot of you can relate to, God is excavating our hearts in this season. He's digging deep. He's exposing the deep things in our hearts. And so, just living in that place of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And yet when we see the judgment, when it comes up, you know, I do a lot of, gosh, Lord, I just had a, you know, that was an unkind thought, or I'm judging with you. I thank you for forgiving me, and just rejoicing that. I just love that the word says he purges and cleanses us and makes us white as snow. And I get excited about that, like, to know that, Lord, there's one teacher, Mahesh Shabda, talks about like getting cross decontaminates us from sin. I love that idea. I'm getting decontaminated. And just, so yeah, as far as like the discussion that was brought up here, about like walking in the grace of God, like living in that rest where we can immediately confess, you know, as we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and know and be confident that the cross is going to work out that power. And what do we see as we go along? We see, you know, that person, you know, I know recently I had an issue with, you know, I had fear in my heart. I didn't have the love of God towards a certain type of person. And I said, Lord, why do I keep coming up against this certain type of individual that triggers all of my issues? And my urge was to get into, you know, where there's no love, there's fear. fear, and I was feeling fear, and I wanted to put up my boundaries, and I wanted to do this, you know, and say, I'm not going to get too close to you. I know the type that you are, and I don't want to be around that. And the Lord was just like, you are not in the love of God. And of course, because there's no condemnation, we're able to just say, you're right. You know, let's look at that. That is not the love of God. And it was really neat because I just began to confess that to him. I'm afraid of her. I don't like her. I don't want to be around her. And this, here's why, Lord. And it's sin and it's wrong. And I repent of it and cleanse it and work with me. And it was really awesome because he, in that instant, it's not always so immediate. Sometimes, you know, we go through long seasons of contending and confessing sin and until we get that freedom and that victory. But, you know, I was able to see her with his heart. And actually, he gave me his eyes for her. And we actually, she became one of my favorite people. And so, all that, I wasn't actually meaning to go get into that story. I just wanted to say, I think in walking in that grace, we can just confess the judgment, confess the irritability, and just praise God, trust him. And he's just gonna take it right out and give us his heart. And so, but we fall woefully short. I want to say that too, woefully short of this agape love, but we are going towards that. That's the mark in the grace and power of God. Yeah. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle. That was good. Go ahead, Missy. By the way, Michelle, I went ahead and sent that to you and added you to the group too. I'm sorry. I forgot to add you to it when you came in.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say, just share some verses that the Lord reminds me of often about love. And this is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you.
Can you put this on the PowerPoint, please?
Funny. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. And the Lord has called us his friends, you know. He said, you are my friends if you do the things which I command you, you know, and if we obey him, that means we love him, you know, that's agape love. It's agape love is obedience love too. But you know, the Lord reminds me of that often and always reminds me of, sow what you want to reap, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, put yourself in their shoes. You know, would you like it? Would you want to be? How would you want to be treated? You know, and just it just laying down your life for one another. You know, that's what the Lord did. He laid down his life for us. And so, just putting them first, and not thinking about yourself. And you know, and when you have this selfish, unloving, you know, you want to do what you want to do in spite of how it may affect someone else, you know, that's not love, and it's not peace, and it's not joy, you know, because that's your flesh, and when you're fighting for what you want, you know, there's just something that the Lord reminds me of now and then. He's spoken to me quite a few years ago. You know, there's nothing more miserable than thinking about yourself. The self, the flesh, the old man can't love, you know? And those are just some of my thoughts and some things that the Lord's really impressed upon me. So I wanted to share that.
Okay, Joe, it's coming to you if you hadn't already gotten it. Go ahead, Edwin.
Just when Dave was giving feedback, the Lord reminded me of something, or just brought something into my mind. And all this love and grace, I spoke a lot about how we should love other people and how we should have grace for them. And when we judge them, do it with grace and with love, and treat each other respectfully and stuff like that. But I think we should also have this in mind when people don't treat us the way we think they should treat us, to remember that they're not perfect and to have grace for them and not take it personally, but just love them and take it or see them the way that the Lord sees them, and that's perfect. It's very easy to feel condemnation or to rejection when people judge you, but we should just remind ourselves that nobody's perfect and they're just trying to help you, and take it like it is, and remember that God sees you as perfect, and all of this will ultimately help you grow, even though the person saying it to you, it's not really doing it in the perfect way. Just take it like, maybe just remember that in the reverse as well as looking forward.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. When they attack you, just remember they're attacking Jesus. They're not attacking you. You don't have to receive it. Okay. Anyone else? Not much criticism, Edwin. Hardly at all. Man, that was good. You made it through, brother. You set a standard tonight. Go ahead. Wait a minute. Time out. Here comes Rion.
Yes, here's my notes. Let me just go get them. Yeah. No, Michelle had a question there. So what does it actually look like laying down our lives? What does it practically look like? And I think we always used to think that just means being a martyr, right? To like physically laying down your life to actually get killed for the gospel. But it's that agape love of laying down your life for someone else is to die to self, is to put down the flesh, you know, it's turning the other cheek, all those kind of things, not getting offended, not putting the image of Satan on someone else and taking offense or putting it on them. You lay down your life every day. I mean, like a practical example is like Claire laying down her life completely to teach the children and homeschool them. That's a practical way of dying to self every day in more ways than we can think. You know, putting not running after the flesh, running after the things of the world, worldly ambitions and things like that. Always, you know, putting your family, I suppose, you're putting others above yourself. You know, like just like Jesus did. I mean, he gave us that example of what it means to lay down your life, not just physically on the cross, but the way that he lived, leaving the riches that he had behind and being poor. Being poor in spirit, being, you know, to when you mourn, to think that you are blessed, and all those, like the Beatitudes that we did the other day, that's all laying down your life, being this peculiar people that we are, to have faith for something when you can go and, you know, easily get it fixed, or, you know, go to a doctor or whatever. All those things is laying down your life, casting down the flesh is what I think. And if you, and especially if you're doing it out of love for someone else, that's even more when you're trying to lift someone else up and putting yourself down in that sense, not putting yourself down as in, oh, woe is me, I'm nothing, but it's knowing who we are in Christ, but also knowing that it's all by the grace of God. And that we can't do anything out of ourselves.
Amen. Good word, Rion. Thank you. Go ahead, Joe.
Just a short comment on love. God's purpose for doing all that was in John 3:16. He did it because of love. And because of love, he sent his son. And son was full of complete in grace and truth. So our starting point should be love. And the way I live, I think, is grace. Through grace and truth, you will experience or show your love to the people.
That's just all I want to say. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. All right, anyone else? What does it look like? It looks like Jesus, doesn't it? He did not defend himself. He defended the church. He defended the people, but he never defended himself. Yes, it was. All right. I think Edwin was the last one. Go ahead, Rianne or Clara, whatever, which one of you did.
Sorry, I'll be done. Sorry to interrupt you, Michael, but I just remembered something, and that's the broadcast on Wednesday night that David did. I don't know if everybody's listened to that, but it was phenomenal in terms of explaining the false prophet and all of those. It's something I want to listen to that a couple of times again, I suppose, and go through those texts. But so much revelation of the end times came through in that short little broadcast. It was just amazing. So I said I wanted to remind everyone on here. So I just remembered that. So, and that's probably something we can discuss at another time.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Michelle, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quickly one thing, because certainly not taking offense is a big part of love. And one thing that I took offense at a really awful situation, and that was always an area that I was really vigilant over my heart to not take offense, and just had a grin. I went through something at a work situation, and it was so awful. And I was like, no, that is wrong. And, you know, I went through time, I took offense. And after that, I began to have less trust to people in general, when before that I trusted, you had to really like do something bad for me to, I just assumed the best of everybody. And I was really troubled by it. And, you know, the Lord showed me my offense years before I dealt with that, but I was still struggling with, gosh, Lord, I just want the innocence I used to have. And one day he showed me, he said, you know why you're struggling? I guess I can't remember if the offense was still there. Now I'm questioning my whole big story, but the main thing that he showed me that really impacted me was, he said, when you took offense at this woman at work, he said, it's like lust. If you open up your spirit to lust and you let yourself lust, you're not just going to lust for the one person. You have lust in your heart now. And he said, when you let yourself offend, you thought, now this is too far. I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't know I was opening to my heart and a lot of hurt. And anyway, he said that you let a spirit of offense into your heart, and that's your frame, that's your filter. And so now you are beginning to see and feel offended at so many things because you partnered with offense. You can't just have a sin towards one person. It's a spirit. All these sins are spirits, and you let them in your heart. And so I just wanted to share that.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. What's your name, Patrick?
I agree with Rian. This message, this last string of messages, actually Sunday and Wednesday have been very good as far as the Lord pinpointing some things. But one thing that he's been showing me here for the last a month or two, and that is, I don't know if there's an expectation. I know we've been tracking with this whole scenario, the deep state, and, you know, Trump's the Cyrus prophecy and this whole thing, and how you know, it's going to, this thing is going down the tubes basically, and this whole reset is going to set us into a whole different frame of functioning here in the world. And David really brought it out well on the message, and it was something that I've been feeling again for a couple, a few weeks here, and that is, we're in the transition between Babylon and Medo-Persia, and there's a tendency to think, okay, we're taking this thing down, and we're kind of going to be on relief. It's gonna be easy street from here, and we have the time that we want, etc. And what, you know, whatever, and that we're and there's just kind of the thing that, you know, things are going to be easier and whatever. But I real, you know, as I was thinking about it, it's going to change things, but it's important to remember that Daniel, even though he made that transition through Babylon and ended in under the Medo-Persian authority, it was under that authority that he got tossed in the lion's den. That and of course the king was on his side and kind of got caught in a technicality of his own law. He was on his side, but the surrounding force, I don't know what, of the beast, shall we say, ended up tossing Daniel in the lion's den. And so I guess the thought that came to me is that there's going to be a transition and a change here, but, and it may well, in fact, be a timing to allow God to do something and to develop the body, but it's still going to be under the beast. It's from one beast to the next beast. And I agree with David that there will be a certain point in time when that beast will turn against the people of God. So anyway, I just thank the Lord. He's bringing us through it. And he's teaching us to watch and keep our eyes on what's happening and our focus upon Jesus through this process. And so I just praise him for bringing us into this awareness and understanding. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Who's that little girl behind you there, Edmund? Mm-hmm. Hey, sugar. Oh, you're shy? Hey, no, she's not shy. How you doing, sweetie? All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much for this wonderful teaching tonight. And Father, we just praise you for all the comments and revelations that were brought forth tonight. And Lord, we thank you that it was a blessing and will be to the people who listen to it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for all you're going to do tonight, tomorrow, and from now till Jesus comes back. And we thank you for it. Let everybody get a good night's sleep tonight, too. Hey, Dave. Smile, man. What's the matter?